My brothers and sisters, as I said in the introduction to the Mass, we have the coming together today of two wills. One that I think is fairly obvious to us, that we celebrate often as the will of Mother Mary, her yes, given the limited knowledge that the angel Gabriel gave to her. I say that, you know, she had a question, he gave her an answer, and for a young girl to receive that answer as sufficient to make the kind of response that she made shows an incredible faith and an incredible trust of all that God would be faithful through it all. In the same way, only a few days ago when we celebrated the feast day of Saint Joseph, in a similar kind of way, I mentioned in the homily the angel Gabriel, doesn't name the angel by name, but the angel that comes to him in his dream and says to him, this is how this has taken place, and his yes, which we don't hear but we see in his actions, conveys faith and trust. He receives the answer to how this has taken place, but it doesn't take away all of the difficulty that he will have in navigating this reality. All of the gossip, all of the things, all of the hardship, all of the rejection, all of the things that people are saying, evil against him or against Mary. It doesn't take any of that away. He knows, but it doesn't take it away. In the same way today, the angel Gabriel's response to Mother Mary about how this will be and her yes doesn't take away the hardship that this will bring to her. But she knows, and she knows that God will be faithful to her. There is, I guess that makes three wills. We bring Joseph into the picture because he will be in the picture soon enough. But today, also the will of the Son. St. Paul alludes to it, and I don't think we can fully grasp what this looks like. I have an idea in my imagination, but I think it is very limited. When St. Paul speaks about Jesus emptying himself, handing over his glory that he has had for all of eternity, emptying himself in order to become incarnate in the womb of Mary. I almost see it like a falling star that is like emptying itself, Jesus like exhaling to the Father all that he is, everything that he is. And one day, and the day of his resurrection, the Father will breathe back all of that. It's a mystery. But we see his willingness to embrace this plan of salvation for the world. He knows what the outcome will be, but it doesn't take away the cross. It doesn't take away the hardship that will come in the fulfillment of that. Today, in a very special way, salvation begins. It begins because in the womb of Mary today, divinity is joined to humanity in the person of Jesus, in a way that humanity and divinity will never be separated again. This is the beginning. This is the relationship. This is the moment. This is the instrument. This is the tool, the plan. And in this moment today, 9 months from Christmas, so get your Christmas list ready. 9 months from now, we'll be celebrating Jesus' birth. But today begins salvation. Today, something happens that can never be undone. Even though creation and its beauty being created by God, in its communion with God, that communion was so incredibly fragile. All it required was one rebellion, one sin to break it. This bond of communion between divinity and humanity, that is Jesus incarnate, will never be broken. In Him, salvation begins today. I don't know if you notice or not, but in the stained glass window, all of the windows that show Mother Mary, all of them have her veiled, except this one, which is absolutely appropriate because the wearing of a veil was always done in front of strangers, but not in front of family and not in front of intimates. So for Mary to be unveiled as the Holy Spirit comes upon her, an expression of great intimacy, incredible intimacy. As we plan the mural that will go here of Pentecost, we brought that same small thing of the unveiling of Mary as a moment of intimacy. We brought it into the mural as well. In that mural, she will not be veiled either. Neither will the women that are present in the room as the Holy Spirit falls upon them all in the church. A moment of divine intimacy between God and His bride. So, for us, as we reflect upon this great and awesome mystery of the incarnation, of the Annunciation of our Lord, we are invited to recognize that of all of the things that God wants from us, it is you and me. He doesn't want your clothes, He doesn't want your car, He doesn't want your house, He doesn't want your things, your books, your money, your gifts, your talents. He wants you. Ultimately, true sacrifice, true religion, true worship of our Heavenly Father, true worship of God is a sacrificial love of ourself to Him. I say that alluded to in the second reading in the letter to the Hebrews. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Holocausts and sin offerings you did not delight in, but as it is written of me in the scroll, behold, I come to do your will. It's you, it's me. And the ordering of our will in accordance with Him, enlightened and empowered in the Holy Spirit, that we would do His will. This is the worship of God. It requires great trust, courage, yes, conformity of our heart to His, and faith and hope and love, yes, yes, yes. But this is the fulfillment of it all. It's not the exterior sacrifice. It's the gift of ourselves. A word of encouragement: if we do this, we die. But that's okay. because we are sharers in his resurrection. And the dying of ourself that we give is not unto death, but unto life. Life comes from the sacrificial gift of ourself. That's what makes it beautiful. Amen.